Hello, 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 and welcome to Amongst Friends. It's yours truly, Bree Cooley, and I am here with the one and only D-Rob.
You know this, man.
And the man, the myth, the legend,
Breezy.
What happened?
Okay, now.
He got all.
And this is, as I said, Amongst Friends radio talk show. You can hit us up on Facebook at Amongst Friends Radio Talk Show, or join our group, Amongst Friends Radio Show. You can catch us on Twitter, Amongst_Friends. Or you can, well, actually, full disclosure, this is a pre-recorded show, so don't be calling in. But in case you'd like to call in some other day, 760-683-2662. And what up, though? How's everybody?
Pretty good. Happy Saturday to you all.
Man, I wish I could say it. No, technically, it's a happy Saturday. It's a happy Saturday.
You're blessed. You living?
I'm living. Absolutely, I'm living.
You got a job?
I got a goddamn job. Yo.
And your life. Look at God.
Look at God covering me. All around.
You want to do it?
Yeah, lights on, everything.
Everything's
good.
I mean, turn on the light. Yeah, life is good. I mean, but this week has been a emotional roller coaster. I'm talking about high then low, high then low, high then low. Like every day, I've been like, tonight. Yeah, I'm going to crack open that wine. I need something to mellow me out. Something. Well, actually.
I'm pretty sure you are.
Wait, when did we go to karaoke? Was that Monday? Monday was good. Forget that. Monday was good. I ended it wonderfully. Yeah. Tuesday on out. No, Tuesday was good. That's when it went downhill. No, I didn't take that back.
No, we had the show Wednesday.
We had the show Wednesday. Wednesday was still.
But, yeah.
It was still pretty cool.
Thursday and Friday.
Thursday and Friday were.
You know what I say when I have like two crazy days or even one crazy day? I was like, I have had a week and a day. Yeah. Like, a week and a day, like, it just seemed like, was there extra time added on? Because this has been absolutely insane.
Yeah.
So I totally understand. You guys probably aren't even going to care about this, but I was trying to be proactive and finish my assignment, and they made us pay $11 for what they called a handbook or something, right? I opened this damn thing because they gave it to us electronically. After you pay your $11, they give it to you electronically. It's a damn copy of another book. 5 pages. I was like, this, I could have gone to Kinko's for this. And it was a poor copy because it took me 2 days. I took pictures of it and sent it to other people and was like, I don't understand this. I'm missing the instructions because it was the selective theory sorter where you determine what theory, what practice of counseling, what, you know, counseling theory fits your ideals. So this is important. You know, I'm going to Chicago next week to actually be recorded doing a full counseling session. And don't look at me like that. Yes. Next week. So I'm sitting here like, okay, this is important. I need to know what I need to read up on and, you know, what fits what I'm doing and, you know, get my exercises together and all that stuff. And it took me 2.5 days to determine that there were gray boxes on this sheet. So it was a column of questions and then A, B, A through L, right, on the piece of paper, right? And the instructions were to mark -3 through +3, whether this is not at all like you, or, you know, whether you absolutely disagree or whether you slightly disagree. Mm-hmm. Right? Or, I mean, or whether you absolutely agree or whatever. So, and it said, mark it in the empty box. All the boxes were empty on my copy. So I asked a friend. I was texting people. And finally, somebody, they have a Facebook page for mm-hmm. my counseling program. And I was like, what's up with this? And the people were telling me the same instructions. And I was like, I understand that, but what goes in the rest of the empty column?
Right.
And they were like, there should only be one empty column. I was like, is that column A? Because all my columns are empty. And they were like, no, the boxes are grayed out. Do you know that, first of all, I don't like not knowing how to do something that mm-hmm. everybody else knows how to do. I'm like, why can't I get this? I mean, there's some stuff I know I'm never going to be able to know how to do, like cornrow my own hair. I ain't got it. That's fine. But something as simple as filling in some blanks and, you know, something that's as important as finding out, you know, what your orientation, what your theoretical orientation is. I needed to know this. So I'm sweating. I'm at work. Like, I'm flipping back through the pages. I'm like, I don't get this. I don't understand it. When I found that out, like, I was so relieved. Like, have you ever just really been like, I cannot figure this shit out and it's driving me crazy? And then when you finally get it, it's like, yes, yes, in his face.
The words off your shoulders.
Yo. Yes. And then it took me forever to score the thing because the way it printed out crazy. It printed out on 9 damn pages. Columns A through L, 9 pages. I had to go through. Okay, column A. I flipped through that thing like 10 times. Just boom, 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 boom. I was so frustrated. I just, like, I can't even tell you how mad I was. Then, come to find out, I'm more associated with a totally different theory than the one that I thought I was associated with. I was like, something's not right. I don't know how I feel about this. Let me go back and look at my score. So I went back and I reread some things, and I was like, okay, maybe I do need to feel more strongly about this. Or not need to, but maybe I do feel more strongly about this. Some stuff I marked as neutral because I was like, I don't feel like thinking about it now because I was pissed. So I went back through and I rerated some things, and I was like, okay. So I'm equally, you know, as oriented to this one as the other one. Okay, fine. I can deal with that. So I can incorporate some of that into or see where they intersect and work on that. But I was like, man, I'm going to Chicago next damn week. I need to figure this out. I figured it out, though.
You made it.
Yay. Okay, I know some people may not care about that, but that thing was bothering me. I don't like not knowing things that other people know. Like, I'm like, but I don't understand, or not understanding things that other people understand.
But like you said, it would have affected what you were going to be doing this week anyway. So.
Yeah, and the teacher gave us an alternative, but the alternative wasn't as extensive as the, she mm-hmm. gave us the online one, like the one that we paid $11 for was like 60 questions. The one online was like 20 questions, and it only had like generalized theories. It didn't go into, because nobody gives a crap, but I'm interested. I'm interested in reality therapy,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, you creating your quality world and you not being able to control other people, but how you react to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I'm a strong proponent. I believe in, you know, I can't control you. All I can control is how I deal with you, and I don't have to, and that's fine. That I don't want you in this life of mine, and that's fine. But so it didn't even have reality therapy listed. A lot of times people think that reality therapy is, or not, they don't think it is. It is. It's based on, it's based out of cognitive behavioral therapy and stuff like that. So it's like, it's an offshoot of another theory, but it's coming into its own, but it wasn't listed in that. I was like, no, I need to know, you know, what these ideals are and understand, you know, whether this is really something that I want to do. I'm about to make a career change. This $11 was important. So I left my teacher a nice little note after she told me twice how to do it, and I was like, yep, don't get it. But I left her a nice little note, and I was like, that packet that we paid $11 for is poorly copied. And when you print it out, there are no gray boxes. I had someone else, when I posted it in the group, somebody told me the boxes were gray, so I was squinting to look at it, and then somebody saved my life. This girl sent me a message on Facebook and was like, my teacher took pictures of the pages. So I had to go through and look at the pages and match them up to mine and make sure that I had the numbers in the right boxes. Because in some cases, you couldn't tell where the white boxes were. Man, that thing had me so stressed. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, Dee almost losing her life this week or whatever, but it was like, you know, you almost get choked out at work. But that thing had me so stressed out. But I was just like, it's funny how when things start to fall into place, you just feel so, like, I was excited. I was like, yes, because this has been bothering me for 2 days. I tried to do that crap on Tuesday. It was due on Wednesday, and I still hadn't figured it out by Wednesday. So then Thursday night, I was up till 12 o'clock because I had to finish that, and then I had my other stuff to do for the class where I have stuff due on Thursday, which I don't give a crap about. Oh, my gosh. And I have a paper due while I'm in Chicago. Anyway, that's what happened to me last week. I feel so much better. Can you tell?
It's a therapy.
It was, man. Let me tell you something. People say that venting is a form of demon worship or whatever because you're giving power to whatever the problem is. No, venting just makes you feel better. To me, a lot of times when I'm sorry, when I vent, I just feel like,
because you're releasing, you're releasing it off of you.
You're getting that if anything, you're getting that spirit out of you.
Right. I would like to discuss why it is that when your physical appearance intimidates people, why they feel like, oh, you should handle it. You good. There's no threat. There's no threat. Mm-mm. You got this. Why? I mean, I don't, you know what? I'm trying to stop myself from saying, I understand your perspective. And in understanding your perspective, I feel like a lot of times that I have downgraded how I feel so that I could be accommodating to the other person. Well, the other person is, this is how I see it. You're wrong. And this, that, and the third. And deal with how I feel versus this is how I feel. But I'm going to take how you're feeling into consideration too. And I feel like I'm putting more and more pressure on myself. In theory, it's good so that I can hear everybody's objectives so I can make a sound decision or I can calm down and all this kind of stuff. But what I'm finding is when I do that,
you're not doing the same thing.
Nobody takes account my feelings. Nobody understands that when I say I'm feeling some kind of way, they're like, oh, you're all right, because you're always the one who.
There is something to be said about always being the one that's all right.
Right. What is that? What is that to be said?
It's not fair.
It is not fair at all.
Although it's an amazing way to be a well-adjusted human being, to know how to soothe yourself or to see both sides or to be understanding. It super duper sucks because do you watch Orange is the New Black?
I do.
Okay, so you remember when she said to Caputo, you spend your whole life holding the door for people, mm-hmm. and then you get mad when they don't say thank you, when nobody asked you to hold the fucking door in the first place.
Right.
Use my language, but that's what she said. I'm just saying. Nobody asked you to hold the door in the first place.
Right.
And when I saw that, it clicked to me. Nobody asked me to hold the door. You know what I mean? I'm always the understanding one. I'm always the one that goes to the person first and says, you know, oh, blah, 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 blah. You know, I know about this type of thing. Da, 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 da. And I've decided to stop apologizing before I'm asked for an apology for some things where I know that I'm not necessarily wrong because somebody else is more sensitive.
That's really hard to do.
It is. It is, especially when it's just in you to just kind of be. I like having moral high ground in most cases, you know, and I like to be the bigger person because it just kind of, it does make me feel better to know that I'm like, okay, yeah, let me just let this go. Let me just go ahead and apologize and get this out of the way. But at the same time, ain't nobody apologizing to me.
No one's doing the same thing to you.
Well, not no one. I have an amazing group of friends that will step up and be like, you know what, my bad, you know, or whatever. But, you know, if I bring it to them or whatever. But I'm always like, if I say something and I leave something hanging in the air and I don't talk to a person for a while, I'm like, that last thing I said is like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Or maybe I should have, well, you know, I should call and check on them, or I should blah, 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 you know. And I've had to stop doing that because what about me? What about my feelings? I have to protect myself, too, and how I feel, and not constantly lay down in front of the door so people can walk over me and then slam the door before I even get up.
Right. I agree.
So, I mean, like I said, there is something to be said about being the person that's always all right, you know, because it means that you know how to deal with, you know, deal with things and not let things tear you all the way down. But at the same time, things do tear you down.
They do. And then it's really hard because you've been self, what do they call it? Not self-medicating.
Self-soothing.
But self-soothing. That now when you're so low and people are like, dude, you're not the same. Like, what's going on with you? Like, what's happening?
Like, you can't go through situations.
Well, not so much you can't go through situations. It's just like you're typically the person who bounces back, who always has a positive word, who always has something. And while you're still being positive in there's something off about you.
I went through that last year, and my best friend was like, she's like, the girl that I loved all those years is back. And I was like, I hadn't necessarily realized I had gone anywhere, but if you know that there's something going on, why didn't anybody say anything? You know, they knew what was going on, but they were just kind of like, well, we're just going to let her work it out and see what happens. If it gets too bad, we'll come in.
Why do we have to work it out by ourselves?
It's hard being the lion.
Listen, young, I'm telling you. The funny thing about my situation is I'm being more verbal in what's going on. Like, I'm really struggling. You know, like, on the outside, I'm like, yeah, what's up, let's do it. I'm making the steps. But then when I come home, I'm like, yo, I'm just tired. I don't know which way to go. And I see that I need to climb the ladder or climb out of the pit. I know I need to, but it's just like, I don't have a ladder. Like, I don't have somebody standing above me saying, we're going to pull you out. It's more, hey, you okay down there?
Why don't you get up out of there and let's go to da-da-da.
Right.
You know? And you got to scramble and find your way. Yeah. No, I totally understand how you feel. I do.
Well, for me, and this is like you, this is what I'm starting to do now. I'm starting to be, you know, more vocal as well. It's hard for me to, you know, ask for help. It's hard for me to bend someone else's ear or to vent. But, you know, I'm good at being a person that, you know, you can vent on. You can vent to a person you can lean on. Like my best friend. And I told him, I said, you know, you are a better friend to me than I am to you. Not because, you know, he goes above and beyond and I don't. He bends my ear. He vents. You know what I'm saying? And that's what best friends are supposed to do. And I'm learning slowly how to do that. You know, so when I'm going through something, he may not know about it.
Right.
You know, but when he's going through something, hey, man, this is, I'm that one. So for me, it's partly self-inflicted. And also, again, like I said, it's hard being lying. I am that person, and people know that. That comes to me. But when I'm acting abnormal, I'll shake it off.
Right.
Dude,
I don't want to shake it off. I'm tired of shaking. I've been shaking for a long time, yo.
I have shaking baby syndrome, okay? I'm tired of shaking.
I don't want to see another shake
don't want to see no milkshake, no salt shaker.
Damn, Breezy, man, when Breezy coming back? Man, look, Breezy's feeling like Brian right now. How about that?
Uh-oh.
Well,
okay, Brian. Did we get the government?
Right, okay, Brian, well.
No, but I understand. Sometimes you just don't effing feel like it. And I'm glad to have someone that I can talk to. The person that I talk to the most understands me, and she is able to. And it took a long time to get to this point where she could be like, bitch, you're tripping, and say it just like that. And I'll be like, maybe I am. You know, because a lot of times, a lot of friendships, people don't realize are one-sided in that as long as you're up, we're up. Mm-hmm. But when you're down, it's like, what's wrong with you? No, I need you to be.
I need you to be up. I need you to be up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you find someone that you can be down, when you're down, they pull you up. Or when you're down, they don't necessarily keep you down, but they let you understand that you're down there because of what you did or whatever. And you know that they're not coming from a place of malice or harm. And that's what a lot of people have not found in their friendships. Is that, oh, this bitch thinks she could tell me so-and-so and blah, 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 blah. Why you mad? Listen to it. Is there any truth in it? If you're not being honest with yourself, then anything she says is going to piss you off.
This is true. Right. But here's where I'm having the problem. Now, there are tons of people I could probably call and talk to and get pulled together. I'm from the school of... And it happens, you know, well, I'm not going to even bring the church into this. I don't feel like where I, okay, let me back up. Where I am mentally in this whole struggle to come back to the high, I'm low. Like, I don't have the energy to go high. So if I call Bree, and I'm calling Bree every day because I'm feeling like I can talk to her after day three, I'm probably feeling like me. I'm not saying her, but I'm thinking she's going to be tired of me being low. Not necessarily understanding that that's all I have right now, and I really need somebody to pour into, to help me, to give me the material.
After the first event, once the next event is exactly the same, that's when the other person needs to turn on their spidey senses and realize this person might need a pep talk. You know,
not a
bitch bye or whatever, but like a real, you know, so.
Yeah, but you do that. Say you recognize it. Bam. Mm-hmm. First one. Got your ear. Hear it. And she comes back and she says, Bree, I heard you. I in my head, I see the to-do list, and each day I'm committed to do it. I just don't have the mental energy to do it. And I come to you.
My room looks like a clothing tornado.
And I come to you and I say, here's the issue again. You didn't gave me a pep talk.
Right. And you know what I say then? I don't know what else I can tell you.
So now I'm back in the same
position. You got to start believing it for yourself.
I've been believing for a very long time.
A lot of times I feel like, because I do feel like that, I've literally forced myself out of, I've suffered from depression. I have anxiety, like real bad, like pull over to the side of the road, bawling, crying, anxiety. I talked myself out of a panic attack the other day, just because I was tired of it. And I'm not saying everybody can do it, and I'm going to try not to freaking cry right now, but I was so tired of feeling overwhelmed. I was so tired of feeling like, well, I don't know what's next. I was so tired of a lot of it is just worry about what's going to happen until I realized that it always works out. Mm-hmm. The in-between sucks like hell, but it always works out. And when I start worrying about it too much, that's when it gets worse. When I start putting my hands in it too much, that's when it gets worse. When I start to come up with all these what ifs and what if not, you know what I mean? That's when things just start going awry. So if I do what I know I can do and let everything else go where it's going, things always seem to work out. And I have to keep reminding myself, like the other day, I ain't got no money. But I've been in this situation before. But when I was in this situation before, I didn't have any money. I didn't have any gas in my car. I was still paying rent. My roommate was a hot mess. And I didn't know what my next paycheck was already spent.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, this is, you know, a couple years ago, whatever. And I was just like, I still ain't got no money. But then I thought about it. My mortgage is paid. My mortgage, not my rent, my mortgage is paid. You know what I'm saying? My car is paid for. My car is full of gas. I'm on my way to Chicago. I just paid for a trip to Europe in cash.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's a different kind of not having any money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a, oh my God, I don't have any money. What am I going to do, you know, next week? Next week I get paid. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get paid and then I'm going to have money. The end. Right. You know? So you have to look at your situation not from where you are right now, but where you were, where you've been and where you're going. Because a lot of times we get so bogged down in, like, I'm already in my mind, I'm like, oh yeah, I need to do this for, you know, October's coming up soon, we gotta pay for our shore excursions, we gotta do this, we gotta blah, blah, blah. I'm laying on the couch worrying myself to death about October, and I go to Chicago on Wednesday. Ain't packed shit, ain't read nothing. You know what I'm saying? I'm not even prepared for what's coming up right now because mm-hmm. I'm worried about what's way down the road.
Right.
So a lot of times we psych ourselves out by being too far, seeing too far down the road and worrying about the details of something that ain't even here yet, not even close, that we got plenty of time for, and not worried about today. What do I need to do today? So, you know, I'm laying on the couch last night like, I should have done this, and I, oh man, what are we going to do about blah, 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 I hope I don't forget this. For Greece, I'm going to Greece in October, that's months away, and I'm worried about that. I ain't packed nothing for Chicago. I was like, oh wait. Okay, let's just worry about tomorrow. What can I do? What do I need to do, and what can I do tomorrow? So I got up this morning. I cleaned out my car, which, if anybody knows me, knows that is a miracle, and the Lord is good. Cleaned out my car. I took it through the car wash. It's nice and clean. My mother's friend is going to be fixing it for me while I'm out of town, which is also a blessing. You know, I had someone, like, you really do have to count your blessings sometimes when you get like that, because you get so bogged down in what isn't there or what you wish was there that you're overlooking what is there. And, you know, people are like, oh, it's easier said than done. And it is. It's absolutely easier said than done. But I've done it. My grandfather had depression. My mother deals with depression. I haven't taken depression medication in a year. Over a year. It can be done. You have to be willing to do the work.
You have to desire. Yeah, I'm a mild depressant, ADD, and I have.
That explains so much. ADD, I get it.
And while I haven't done it in some years, I'm a cutter. Yeah, I got scars and everything.
Seriously.
Yeah, I got.
I can't see past all that hair on your arm. Oh, I see it. Okay.
Wow, the things you learn amongst friends.
It's amongst friends, right?
Yeah,
you want to be a part of the conversation when we're on the air, you dial 760-683-2662.
For me, like, growing up, it's no secret I've been raised as the only child. And so while there are, you know, problems, concerns, that you may not be able to speak to your parents about, but if you have siblings, hopefully you can talk to, you know, siblings. Well, I didn't have that person, so I internalized, you know, a lot of things. And I still do, hence me, like I said, trying to, you know, be more vocal. And so I'm not suicidal. When I first started cutting myself, it was like my first time, like, releasing just shit inside of me. Like, lots of it has just been built up. And, again, I'm not the most vocal. You know, I could disappear for a while. If like, me and you, we cool. If I wasn't a co-host, I'd probably disappear and, you know, pop up and email you, text, like, once every 5 or 6 months. I had to drop off the grid sometimes. And so, yeah, so when I did it, it's just like, it felt good.
Put them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like, it
felt good.
Because, like, this is me, like, releasing, but, I mean, physically did it, but it was, like, it was a form of therapy.
I'm totally fascinated by this, by the way. Because when you said that, all I could think is, but when you cut, like, that hurts. Like, after you done cut, you know.
Oh, and I've done it for years. I mean, I still.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, like, my whole thought process was, when you cut, what do you feel? Like, how does that make?
For me, I don't know why other people do it. Like, for me, it just felt like I can't talk to people, knowing that I can, but it's hard for me to. I'm by myself, and while physically it did hurt, but when I did it, it felt good inside.
Why?
Because, like, a release.
But you're hurting yourself.
I know. I'm not saying it's right. I mean, I've done it, you know, throughout years.
It's a compulsion.
It's a compulsion. And sometimes, like, I mean, even to this day, why I have not done it in 4 years, and the thoughts come
so
and
you
go.
Did it, like, 4 years ago?
Well, that's how I did
it. In your adult life?
I started my adult life. I had thoughts of it in my teenage years, they didn't start to my adult life. And since my last time doing it, I mean, the thoughts come and go. I mean, it's times where I'll sit on the sofa with a knife in my hand, and I just won't do it. You know, the thought comes and goes like that, and I just sit with a knife in my hand, and, you know, the thought will pass. And so I won't do it.
Wow. Yo, that's amazing.
I mean, and when we do get past the just dating stage, you know, I tell that person that. And that's an interesting conversation to have.
Have you had it?
Yeah.
Here recently? I'm talking about with the new boo.
No, actually, I did a post about it. Well, I talked about it.
But you've not
She's read the post.
Okay, but y'all talk about it.
No, I plan on doing it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This is fascinating.
Yeah, so I said, when it's past the, oh, we're just hanging out, and it's something a little more substantial, then I said, hey, let me pull you a code or something real quick.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, because that's full disclosure. I think you should tell somebody.
No, absolutely. You just have no idea. I'm just blown away. This is fantastic. I mean,
fascinating is what
you mean. Now, obviously, when I tell people that.
This is amazing. This is awesome. Like, this is now. Never mind. Yeah. I done went somewhere.
But it, to me, first of all, I appreciate you saying that because a lot of men don't like to talk about how they feel and how they react to things. Let me, we went to lunch like two Fridays ago, right?
Right.
And after, you know, the crowd kind of started dwindling.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple guys left and some girls.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that were said, I was like, I knew it. This one guy was like, I've cried before. I cried when a girl broke up with me. I cried, you know, da 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 da. But he would never tell anybody. He would never, you know, come out and say his feelings are hurt. He was like, you know, he would just cry, let it out and, you know, kind of try to move on, even though necessarily, you know, he didn't necessarily. I feel like a lot of men feel like they would be called emotional if they, you know, talked about their feelings or how somebody hurt their feelings or whatever. But I also feel like there are a lot of men that are going around now still carrying hurt from, like, when they were 18, 19 years old. I talked to this one dude, he was like, oh, yeah, when I went away to college, I had a girlfriend and da-da-da-da-da. Then I found out she cheated on me, and that messed me up forever and da-da-da-da-da. And I think to myself, but you just told me you were sleeping with other women. You were messing with other girls, and then you found out she cheated on you, and that hurt your feelings. And now you carrying this around because you were wrong, and so was she. Like, you know.
Yeah. Right.
But, I feel like a lot of men refuse to call things what they are,
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, in an effort to make themselves look more macho. So I definitely 100% appreciate you saying that. And I really hope that people, you know, read your post and all of that stuff, because a lot of men do a lot of things to make themselves feel better, but don't share it because they feel like, oh, you know, oh, hell no, you ain't about to see me cry. You're not about to blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody asks you to walk around all the time, you know, like a dad on cotton ball, just, you know, but I feel like if you show just a little bit of emotion, you know, less crazy crap would happen. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, would get less of a crazy reaction from people.
I did another post where I admit in this post that I cry. And whenever I see Antoine Fisher, I spoke about this before. And when he met his mom.
You're sensitive. I'm joking.
Well, when he met his mom, mm-hmm. I mean, that was almost identically how I met my mom. And that scene right there makes me cry. And I did a post, you know, I call it Breezy Fisher, and I talked about how it parallels my life. And so each time I see that movie, and the movie scares me. I haven't seen it in about 3 years, and I cried. Last time I saw it, before then, it was like 3 years, and I cried and I saw it. So while I don't get real personal in my post, the mm-hmm. three that I have gotten real personal, me crying, me cutting myself. So, again, this is a form of me trying to, you know, to be better. Vocal. More vocal.
I think people do need to be not only just more vocal, but I think people need to be more honest.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can say, like the whole baby daddy thing the other day, you mad at him and he did this and blah, blah, blah. Did you see that when people were posting? Oh, girl. Some guy has a page where he's friends with like half of Canton, Ohio or something. That's where Canton is, right?
Yeah.
And so from what I gather, most of those people ain't never left Canton. They all know each other. And so he posted something like drop selfies of your deadbeat dad, of your deadbeat baby father.
That one?
Yeah, that thing got wild. I went because I actually clicked on it and went to his page and looked at it. But I feel like if a lot more people were honest about not just why they feel that way about the deadbeat father, but why the father is a deadbeat. Dudes get their feelings hurt. They don't want to see you with nobody else. And so they take it out on you and the child, be like, oh, she ain't about to be looking good for some other man on my money.
Right.
Sir, if y'all were living together and you were, you know, paying for the child's, you know, daycare or whatever, she'd still be getting her nails done. It's the same thing. You're not supporting her. You helping her. If your child is wearing bummy clothes, then that's one thing. If you giving her, you know, money for the kid to be poloed down and she goes to Kmart, then I understand. But if you barely giving her Kmart money, and then you worry about her getting her nails done, your little raggedy $50 a month ain't getting her nails done. Like, you want her to look terrible. But if they were honest about what it really is, you mad. That's it. You mad. When women get mad at the father, you're not mad because of what he's doing to the child all the time. Not all the time. You don't take it. You don't take things. You don't. Because a lot of people are like, oh, I made sure that he could see his kid. No, you don't. Not all the time. You know, some people do, mm-hmm. but I just from what I have seen in other people's relationships that have had baby mama and baby daddy drama, I've had to be like, you know, you could just, well, not you could just, because I don't like when people say that, but I'd be like, you know, so-and-so, and just what I've observed. Like, my nephew, for example, for the longest time, his daddy just couldn't face the fact that it was over between he and my sister. Mm-hmm. So he would say stuff and do stuff and tell my nephew stuff that he had no business repeating, just putting things in his head because he's mad at my sister. You know what I'm saying? So if people were more honest about the fact that I'm still mad at this child's mother
mm-hmm.
for how things turned out, but also honest with the fact that I'm the reason why this turned out this way.
You know what? I wonder when that happens, you know, both men and women are mad because it's not over. Are they mad because it is over? Are they mad because it actually is over? Or just because they don't want nobody else to be that person? If they can't do
it depends. It's not always the same thing is what I'm saying. But you need to be honest about what the issue really is, what right. your issue is with them. And then you need to – a lot of people can't face themselves.
Mm.
And that is the long and short of most mental issues or most interpersonal conflict is not about a large part of it is not about how you interact with each other, but how you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though, you know, you may have a problem with somebody talking to you crazy at work, you know, and that problem may be partially because you feel insecure and you feel like people don't believe, you know, don't believe take your side or trust you to do your job. But it's also part of that other person feeling superior or feeling like they have to talk to people crazy or just being damn racist, like I said last week. Because the same woman that emailed me talking to me crazy walked up to me real close to me, like in my 3 feet of personal space and was like, hey, girl. But if you don't back up, I'm trying to order my salad. And you're like, oh, what are you getting on your salad? Oh, I like the da-da-da-da-da and the so-and-so and the blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, we are not good girlfriends. You and your witchy haircut and your book bag purse need to back up.
Well.
But it, like I said, it's if people dealt with themselves internally as much as they project crap onto other people. If you pay attention to how people treat you, it says a lot about how they feel inside. If people are always talking to people crazy, they feel like they have something to prove. You know what I'm saying? If people are always, well, like, oh, whatever you want to do, and blah, 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 they're uncertain, unsure in themselves. And a lot of times, a lot of the things that you dislike in other people are things that you also feel within yourself.
Well, we sometimes project onto others what we're lacking. Like you said,
yeah.
You know.
I've had struggle through, once I really decided to be who I was, which is like 10th grade, And I'm one of those people, I am who I am that day. Not multiple personalities, but just if I want to wear, did I tell y'all about this? One day I decided it was 1952 and I got dressed up like it was 1952 and went to school like it was 1952 because that's just what I wanted to do that day. I had on a little black and white dress. I swear I told y'all that with like the little.
A poodle on it?
Mm-mm. No, it was just a little black and white dress with a little patent leather belt. I had on patent leather Mary Janes. I had a little round pillbox purse that I was carrying around. Had a scarf tied under my chin. And I went to school that day because that's how I felt like dressing. Then one day I decided I'm going to be Tootie from the Facts of Life. I brought my roller skates to school and I roller skated around all day. Came to rolled up in class like, okay, I'm here. Then one day I decided I'm going to dress punk rock or whatever. Not really punk rock, but just... that's just how I felt like dressing that day. So I had on platform Converse back in the day? And on platform Converse, some silver knee-high socks and a little striped dress. And, yeah, that's just what I felt like doing that day. But I decided that I wasn't going to let anybody, like, put me in a box and you always have to be this person, you always have to act this way. And from then on, I had people that took issue with me all the way into college and adult life because I didn't care. People want you to care about their opinion about you, and I didn't care.
And then they get hurt when you don't.
Yeah, so they want to talk about me behind my back, and to this day, I don't think they know this, but my roommate and this other girl were having a conversation about me in a note. my roommate dropped the note. She balled it up, I guess, intending to throw it away. It fell out of her book bag in front of our door. I opened it and I read it. And at first my feelings were hurt, but then I was like, this makes sense now. I understand why you because they were so afraid to be who they were, that they were afraid that people were going to, when you associate with people like her and, people think birds of a feather flock together, blah, blah, blah. Then my roommate turned around and started acting just like me. Down to messing with dudes that I used to mess with. Down to telling people she was from my area in D.C., pretending to be from D.C. when we would go out and stuff like that. So.
It's like some single white female shit. Like
yeah, that. Yeah. But I already knew what the underlying issue was. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, you see somebody so free to be themselves that it bothers you because you want to be yourself, but you're afraid what other people will say. I don't give a crap. Never had. Well, not never had, but, like I said, after 10th grade, I was like, forget you. I'm going to just do me, be me, whatever. And now as I'm older, I am kind of not conforming, but I don't constantly have to be, this is who I am, I'm still being me, but I don't try to hide it or anything like that. But it's about being comfortable and honest with you. Like, why are you doing the things that you do? Like, I know why I'm in a really stupid situation right now, and I know why I'm in that stupid situation. I've been honest with myself about it, and I've been honest with the people who know about it. I'm like, look, this is what it is. And they're like, well, as long as you know that that's what it is. I'm like, yes, I do know. I understand it is dumb, 100%. I get it. I understand, but I know why. So that's, you have to be honest with you before you can try to even be authentic with anyone else. I'm going to stop talking now.
This is where we would tell you to call in. But you know what? Like you said, the things you learn. You could be sitting next to somebody and not know what they're going through.
Right.
I mean, maybe you've been doing this for a year, right? And you never knew that.
Yeah. Like, that's amazing to me.
What?
That I never knew that he was a cutter.
Uh-huh.
That's very, it's very interesting. It's very interesting. I, want to call and check up on you now.
The irony of it is, when I started, I actually worked in mental health, but on the admin side. And so, the day after I first did it, I wore, a canary yellow shirt. And I think, one of my bandages had seeped through. And so my boss, who was a clinician at one time, she got burnt out just from hearing, and so she went to admin side. And so she called me, looked down, she was like, left eye to her. And she called me, I'm like, nah, I said, no, it's okay. And so our director, the medical director, he came down and he spoke to me. He's like, well, the good thing is you're not crazy. Like, I had a free evaluation right there. I said, well, I know I'm not. He said, but, just to let you know, he said, there's on a scale of 1 to 10 from, one being not suicidal to 10 being suicidal, mutilation is 5 or 6. He said, but I've known you for a year and now I'm actually talking to you. I think in my, professional opinion, you're not crazy or suicidal.
Right. You don't have suicidal ideations. You're not doing it with I could just die. That's not what it is. Yeah. As a matter of fact, a lot of people, feel like, I said I was going to stop talking, didn't I? But a lot of people feel like, when someone is suicidal, you need to watch them and blah, blah, blah.
Kid gloves.
But what you really need to do is watch them when they're up. If somebody's been suicidal for a long time, or, someone has been suicidal and then suddenly they're happy, that's when you need to pay attention, because that's when they do it. Because that's when they make that decision that they're not long for this world.
And they accepted done. It.
And they're done, yeah. That's when it sneaks up on you. Because I have a friend that's been suicidal since high school and she's still alive, so there's that. Anything you would like to disclose, Steve?
Say that again.
Anything you would like to disclose? Would you like to share?
Since we have our taxi cab profession.
But that burnout that you're talking about is so very real. Self-care is so important in the counseling industry because shit gets depressing or annoying. Like, I can't imagine what my friend's therapist must be going through because, gosh, she just says the same crap over and over again. I'm like, so we're still dealing with this? Is this still a thing? Even after we've tried everything, it's still
good. Me, I get irritated easily. If folks say it's because you're a Gemini. No, I get irritated easily. I mean, that comes and goes. I mean, just like
I'm not a Gemini. I'm very easily irritated. I'm irritated right now. No, for no general reason. Just.
Yeah, I mean, it could be something minute, something that's not even big, and I just be like, you know what? This is irritating as shit out of me. And it may last for an hour or a couple hours. And then after a while, I'm like, you know what? I don't know why I'm irritated.
But you recognize that, though.
Yeah,
the important thing is that you recognize it, because a lot of times you don't recognize that you're irritated or hangry.
I think that's what's wrong with you right now.
Me?
Yeah.
No, there's nothing wrong with me.
You said you didn't know why.
No, I said a lot of times you're irritated and don't know why.
You just said you was irritated right now. Why?
Oh, because it's, I don't know, because it's hot, but it's not hot. But, yeah, it's, like, humid. Like, humid. Yeah, but I'm not hangry. I ate already.
Why are you walking with some food you got for?
Child, I was hungry. I was hangry. I was about to kick the dog, child. I was hangry.
Right, poor thing.
But yeah, just knowing that you irritated initially, and then what's funny to me is when you tell people, I'm irritated right now. What's wrong? I don't know. I'm just irritated.
They keep bugging you. What's wrong?
And then you cuss them out and they look at you like you're crazy. Didn't I just say, I mean, that was no excuse for me to cuss you out, but it also was no reason for you to keep talking to me.
But don't keep, if I tell you, I don't know what's wrong. Don't ask me seven times after that. You will get cussed out.
Duly noted. Because I remember when we were having a photo shoot and someone came and it was off. And I was like, what's wrong?
Sure.
What's wrong?
No.
What's wrong?
Mm-mm.
What's wrong?
I was cool.
What's wrong?
No, you were not.
What's wrong? What's wrong? And then finally, you was like, mama, something went down, blah, 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 talk about it later, but, yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, I know you. You cool. I know you're coming from a place of care.
Well, you were also bringing our shoot. You were not going to, we need to be high and up. And you was like, and I was like, no, not going to do that. This is going to be great.
And it was. The photo shoot came out fine, right?
It did come out fine.
Everything had a way of working itself out.
It worked itself out. That's the key in all of this.
Having faith in that. Having faith in the process. Is that what you said?
Trust the process. Right. I wrote, did you read it? I wrote a blog about it. I think you should read it.
When did you write this blog?
Last year when I was finally pulling myself out. I wrote a blog about it. About trusting the process. And last year I was dealing with a dude I ain't had no business dealing with. And I mean, like, absolutely not on paper, not in reality, not in fantasy world, no business dealing with this dude, okay? Not in alternate universe, nothing. And I knew it, but I let him talk me into it.
He didn't talk you into anything.
Oh, he did. For 3 months, we were on the phone and we blah, 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 and let him talk me into it.
He didn't talk you into it.
Notice I said I let him talk me into it. I didn't say he talked me into it. I said I allowed him to talk me into it. Okay. I choose my words carefully now. Let him talk me into it. And then so when it went, it didn't even go bad. It was just over. And when it was over, I was just like, I couldn't even keep this piece of trash around. And he is absolutely a piece of trash. But anyway. So I felt a certain kind of way, and I was, you know, down to myself, and I was in bed just boo-hooing, just like, oh, my God, why would I do this to myself and all of this? And talked to my spiritual advisor. He brought I came to him, and he was just looking at me like, how did you let him do this to you? And I was like, I don't know. I knew it was coming, but I didn't know it was going to feel like this when it came. But because I was not in the right frame of mind when it began, when it ended, it was I felt like just torn apart. And so, you know, he was like, you got to trust the process and blah, blah, blah. I was like, trust the process. Okay. And to me, that just means whatever it is that you're going through, you just have to
let it go through a cycle.
Yeah, you have to let it cycle through, but you have to trust that on the other end of that is going to be a lesson. There has to be. If it's not a lesson in it, you know what I mean? At the end of it, if you didn't learn anything, then you wasted your time, and you're going to go through it again because you didn't get anything out of it. Like, you have to get something out of all of your failures.
Okay. I thought I was like, oh shit, I'm gonna go through it again. But I got it.
You know, because at the end of the day, whether we choose to ball up and cry, the world still goes on.
No, it does not. No,
it sure does. It sure does. Like, it just keep right on tumbling. Not rolling, but tumbling. Because, yeah. But.
Interesting.
See? I've been doing most of the talking. I feel like you should.
I've said some stuff.
You have a very contemplative look. I feel like you've gained some things.
Yeah.
I have absolutely gained some things. Like, seriously, like, I'm totally blown away. I mean, I'm really happy. I mean, but I've already. I've shared it today. Like, I'm in a low, and I'm working for the highs, and I have things that I have to do.
What may or may not work for you, but what works for me is to have the next thing to, not the very next thing to look forward to. Even if it's like tomorrow, my friend is doing my hair. No, actually, no. Tonight is my friend's birthday party. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is going to be a good time, blah, blah, blah. You know, so that's my next thing. And then I build from there. Tomorrow, my friend is doing my hair. I get to hang out with her and, you know, laugh and talk to her. Boom, that's the next level. Monday, I'll be back here with y'all. But you know what I'm saying? And then I'll be in Chicago. And once I'm at Chicago, you know, once I'm at that level, you know, once I go to Chicago, whatever, then that's, you know what I mean? That's a next level to go from there and try not to go back. You know what I mean? So having something, like, even if I'm having the suckiest week ever, if it's like, even if it's something not as simple as, but, oh, I'm going to church on Sunday. So I'm just, working towards that, like, okay, yeah, I need to get this done and this done so I can be out the house by this time so I can go to church and whatever. So just, instead of just like, oh, I'm about to go home and sit on the couch, you know, today, what about tomorrow? What about, you know, something, looking forward to something positive?
Yeah, it's not a, I come home and sulk. I'm past that. I'm past that. I do come home and I get on the couch or I go into and get in the bed simply because mentally I'm just tired with work and everything that's been happening. There's a lot of things that's getting ready to change in my work life, and it's been draining. This last month with this new job has been draining.
Well, since the day you started.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Since it's been a very draining job, but I know that it's going to be beneficial to my future. I'm just now at a place where I'm being a lot more vocal about my feelings, and I've stopped doing a lot of things. I've stopped accommodating others. I'm accommodating myself. It's me saying, yeah, I don't want to do that. Yeah, I'm not going to think about that. No, if I'm not feeling happy today, I'm not going to feel happy today because I just don't want to or whatever. But I do recognize that, and I don't know if it's I'm moving to another level of who I am, and the only way I can describe it is that I'm low, but I'm moving forward. It's just, it's not the same anymore, you know? Like, I went from being someone who goes to church every time that, hell, I was a person who opened the doors, you know? Like, I was there all the time. Like, I could, I'm not going to quote no scriptures, but I was, I'm going to give an encouraging word. I'm going to check up on you. I'm going to make sure that you're okay, and we're going to do this for the kingdom, and we're going to do that. And, you know, my mind has been enlightened to so many different things. And I'm now the person who's like, I think in the 2 years that I've been, the 2 years that I've been back in D.C., a sum total, I think I've been to church maybe 6 months. And that's weird for me because I grew up in the church. I've always been in the church. I've always gravitated back to the church and served in some capacity, and now it's like, no, I'm good. I want to go back.
Wait, so you haven't seen your pastor lately?
2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
You're funny. So I'm not.
What do you think? Is it spiritual or is it?
It is. It is spiritual. Spiritual. Let me just share some stuff with y'all. Y'all tell me. Y'all give me what you think this is. It's pretty weird. It's pretty weird. I've always had a very unique and interesting relationship with God. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. All y'all folks can believe whatever the hell y'all want to believe, but those are my beliefs. A lot of the things, I have a lot of biblical foundations or biblical principles that I live by, you know. They make me who I am today. I'm okay with those. There are some things that I've changed now in these last couple of years about what was said and what's not said. A lot was tradition. Whatever. I've always had a spirit of discernment.
Mm-mm.
I've always...
No, I'm trying.
Discernment, a little of the prophetic. However, I don't like dealing with it because there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that. I'm tired of being responsible. Mm-hmm. I am the middle child. I'm expected to do certain things. I'm expected to, you know, like, this is how you're supposed to do it. Expectation, it's great. And then people be like, too much is given, much is required. What?
I don't want to do that much.
I don't want to do that much when, what about this fool over here? Give them that responsibility because they want the limelight. I don't want it. I don't want to be, I don't want it. I don't, no thank you. Mm-mm. I don't need it. I don't want it. So that's,
you're running from it.
Whether I'm running from it or not, I'm telling you this is where it is. But here's the interesting thing. Okay. So. Don't ask me why. I'm not a liar.
I'm not an active liar.
I'm not a
habitual liar.
I'm not a habitual.
Ma'am.
You keep it to a minimum.
We'll see what I'm about
She's
to say.
She's a situational liar.
I'm a situational. Yes! That's it. So.
And she's about to come out of these clothes, okay?
So here's the thing. So I've told a couple of fibs.
White lies?
Well, no, they were fibs. They were serious lies, like serious. And I went on with the lie for sometimes years at a time.
That's stories.
You told stories.
Okay. Well, as I'm reflecting back, you know, like one day I was sitting and I was just like, whatever, whatever. And it happened in real life. Like, there was this person that I described. It was a story. The person, it was a good-ass story, too. That person is my ex. Down to the name, to all of his, and it just hit me one day.
You spoke into existence.
Your imaginary person is now real.
So you spoke into existence.
Spoke it into existence, right? Okay, so then I started thinking about another situation. I was at work one day. I was tired. I wanted to go home. And I told a fib. I did. I told a fib. I said my niece just had a fight at school, and they need me to come pick her up, and I got to go. Went home. Was talking to my mother, and we was laughing about something. She got a phone call. My niece got into a fight. She was suspended for the day. Somebody needs to go pick her up. Did I make my niece have a fight because I wanted to go home? Okay. Teach me a lesson. Okay. Had a couple of job offers on the table. Okay. Someone called. I'm with the job that I'm currently with. And they make some offers. And I say, no, I'm not going to be able to do it. Blah, blah, blah. They call me back the next day. Say, hey, this is what we can do. You know, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, let me think about it. I'm not going anywhere. Because I'm pretty loyal. Once I go somewhere, I want to stay. I want to make a difference, blah, blah, blah. That's just my own competitive spirit. If there are problems wherever I am, I'm coming to save the day. That's just who I am. That's what I do. Anywho, so they come back, and then I tell them this elaborate tip of salary, what my responsibilities are, all of these kinds of things. Just flat out, please don't ask me for an offer letter because I'm not going to be able to give it to you. I'm not going to be able to give you a pay stub. None of this. I am fibbing. For my benefit, I'm fibbing. I was sitting at my desk on Thursday, decided to stay, had signed a new offer letter because I now have new responsibilities and all this kind of stuff. Doing some wonderful things with this new company, and it dawned on me. I am getting paid the exact amount that I fib about and the exact responsibilities that I said.
Don't know why you're running.
It makes me nervous.
Don't know what?
These things keep coming true.
Are you afraid of success?
Success how?
There's different types of fears. Fear of the unknown, fear of failure, and fear of success. To those that no responsibility.
When it comes to God's people, I ain't trying to play. Because I honestly believe that at the end, when Judgment Day gets here, I'm going to have an account on why I lied or why I did what I did.
Yeah, why you ran too.
I'm less concerned with that because I have conversation with God and I'm like, listen, nigga, you know who you created. You know what I'm saying? This is me. I do. Didn't I say I had a very particular relationship with him? Yeah. This is me and him. I can't tell you how to talk to him. I'm telling you how I talk to him. He know me. I thought it. I might as well say it. It is what it is. You can like it or not like it. And, you know, sometimes the way I talk to him, I do get punished. Sometimes just, you know, he'll slap me upside my head and say, let's not do that again. You took it too far. But what I'm saying is I don't want to play with, if I see something for you, I'd rather not say it because I don't want to play. Because especially with the prophetic, I believe that if I come to you and I say something to you, it should only be a confirmation. You shouldn't be getting something and then expecting it to happen. It should already be within you. That makes me nervous when I may hear something and I come over. What if this is not a confirmation? Because they say prophecy comes in parts and stuff. All this, y'all too deep for me. All I know is I hear it. I'm just going to look. I'm just going to watch. I may be like, yeah, let's not do that. Because of something you said, not because of something that I said. It's just like I see a lot of stuff, especially when I was in the church. There was so much stuff I saw. And I'd be like, ooh, Jesus. I'd be on the praise team, and I'd be like, ooh, she heavy. Jeez. Oh, woo. Wait, I need to work. Oh, Jesus. Now, we can't. Excuse me, praise team worship. I need to go home. I need to lay before the Lord. This is heavy. This Jesus. This, whoo. It ain't even my stuff. It's, whoo. Boy, listen. Can you get right with your mama? Please. It is, whoo. Father, in the name of Jesus. I don't want it. It's too much. So,
I mean,
Moses, what do you,
let's,
I ain't Moses, my name is D-Rob. So, based on what you've heard, what I'm supposed to do? Stop telling me, stop running. Tell me what I'm supposed to do.
I didn't tell you what you're supposed to do. But I absolutely understand. People like, oh, I'm afraid to fail. The real issue is, you're afraid to succeed and then fail, if that makes sense.
No, it doesn't, so break it down.
Okay. Like you said, with great...
Yeah, bad.
Yeah, because my mind is like going real fast. But my two biggest fears are failure and success.
Mm-hmm.
Because of where I want to go, I'm afraid to succeed because of how many people will be impacted by what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm having a bad day, is that going to, you know, how is that going to affect other people? If I get tired, if I get burnt out, if I put a decimal point in the wrong place, if I read something wrong and react to it incorrectly.
What if somebody's more qualified? Why don't you let them do it?
And a lot of times I feel like one thing I can say about my mama, she don't care about if she not qualified. If she want to do it, she going to make it happen. She's, you know, she's doing all of these things. And I'm just like, how do you feel qualified to do this? You know? And I just, I don't. And it's to the point now where when I am where I'm supposed to be, it's like I get this charge and I start talking and I'm like, I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm saying. These people are listening to me, and they, you know, they're coming to me. They're asking me questions. They're, you know, they believe.
They believe. Man, that is some scary shit.
And it's very scary because you don't want to mess that up. You have people in the palm of your hand. You don't want to manipulate the information. You don't want to filter it. You don't want to misspeak it. You want to make sure all your ducks in a row, but you also want to be genuine.
Right.
You don't want to be scripted. You don't want to be, oh, well, the percentage of so-and-so is such-and-such. You want to speak with authority.
And confidence.
And confidence, exactly. But you do not want to mess that thing up and then have to come back and be like, oh, I meant to say, you know, so I get it. I get it. And let me tell you, one thing that I do, like I don't see things, but I do feel them, and I will tell someone, listen, don't freak out, or I don't really say don't freak out. I'll be like, hey, so, no, I just say, hey, so, it was placed in my spirit to tell you this. I don't know why or what you do with the information is on you, But I have to tell you, it was placed upon me to say this. I don't do it to random people in the street or anything like that, but people that I'm close to, I've done it to my mama. I don't do it to my sister because my sister does not receive. My sister plays too much. She plays too much. So I don't do it to her, but I do it to my mother. I do it to my friends a lot. And I don't always say, you know, what's placed in my spirit to tell you this. Sometimes I just be like, hey, girl, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. You know, what's up with such and such? Just kind of, I frame it differently for depending on who it is. But I 100% understand where you're coming from because it's like, is this where I'm supposed to be? Mm. Is this what I'm supposed to do? Or, you know, you don't want to misstep. You don't want to overstep. You definitely don't want to overstep. But then you don't want to not step at all. Mm.
And therein lies the problem because she not stepping nowhere.
Mm-mm. Baby step. Try baby stepping. Because you realize that
that's also a gift of being a friend, too.
The more you deny it, uh-huh, the more it's going to eat at you. It ain't going away. A lot of people say they can shake it.
I figure.
Nope, no figuring.
If I put something together, I can hand it off. If you put a plan together, he said, give a vision so the people can run with it.
Yeah, but your gift is your gift. What we had chosen to give to you, he chose to give to you. You can't give that away.
But if he gives me a program.
But it's still going to be your gift, though. You can show others
exactly
about it, but it's still going to be your gift or your curse, depending on how you look at it.
See.
I'm not going to give it away. You're never going to be without it.
So how come I just couldn't be a person who had like 4 kids, just live my own life.
But our lives aren't ours to live anyway.
Do I?
Our lives aren't ours to live anyway.
Yes, it is.
For his glory, if you were a believer. Where we would say you ought to call in.
Well, I was just going to say, well, it's about time for us to wrap this up. However, we still got a little bit more time to go. Yeah.
But you realize that all this is you denying it, just so you know.
Yeah.
All of this pushback, none of, because we both made very valid points. And you over here making little kid faces and your tongue out like, hey, I don't want to listen to you or Jesus. It's cool.
But you hit on that's some serious thing.
It is.
I guess I am afraid of success because with success comes even a greater responsibility.
No, I was talking.
Can I give it to you? Okay, that's what it is. It's the accountability. I don't want to be accountable for because I'm tired of being accountable, which is what I keep coming back to.
Goes back to the beginning.
I'm tired of being the one who's accountable for everybody's feelings.
I am tired of being reliable, responsible, dependable, accountable, all the positive things. I'm so tired of being
an
adult, but just like a good as human being.
I want to be 100% ancient. Like 100%.
I wouldn't be able to look at myself.
What I'm saying is that I have for over 15 plus years been the person who has always been
the go-to person.
Not only the go-to person, but the person who Jesus said he don't want my worship if I ain't right with my brothers and sisters. That's a problem for me. Or it was huge for me. I can't move forward. I can't be ain't shit. I can't be like, fuck you and everything that you're talking about because what you did was fucking wrong and that's it. I can't do that because Now that interferes with my relationship with God. That's a problem, you asshole. This is not freaking fair. My feelings are not being considered. So now I got to go make it right.
I'm sorry, what happened?
Because you looking at me when you said it.
Right. She pointed at you. We're
going to
keep it real.
I'm just, but what I'm saying is I always have to make it right. I always have to make it right. And when I go and make it right.
You can't rest unless you do.
Right. Because I don't want you to mess up my relationship.
There has to be somebody. If not,
and
be
somebody. So, but here's the thing. But then when I make it right, you now feel like the shit you did to me was justified because I came to you.
But they have to answer for that too.
I don't care, but
some
right
people don't care about answering for stuff. Let me tell
you. If you're worried about that, don't worry about them because they don't have to be held accountable for
that. But I'm not even worried about that. I'm like, it's not. I'm saying now that I've made it right. Mm-hmm. And you feel justified in your bullshit.
Because you came to me and said apologize.
Because I apologize. Now I'm talking to God and I'm saying, that's not fair. I'm tired of being fair. I'm tired of this moral responsibility that has been placed on me. I don't want a compass. I don't. Like, I don't do certain, some, like, I believe, like, right now.
I do lots of things, and I have an awesome moral compass. But guess what? Some things I find an excuse for.
Listen, so I feel like some of the stuff that I'm doing in my personal relationship as it relates to certain guys, I feel like I'm doing those things because I'm, like, rebelling and being like, then I'm going to do this.
Somebody can walk away.
Low arm fold that she just did, though.
Yeah, right.
Like, I really wish we had a camera for that thing. Like, she just finished. Like, she just crossed her arm. It was real radical.
I'm just saying, I feel like that's what I needed to do. You know, like, that's what I'm doing. I feel like I'm acting out because I'm like, because I don't see where I'm going to get a mansion and a hill and all of this extra stuff for all this fairness that I'm handing out. All I see is more responsibility.
Trust me, I get it. I get it. Because I was like, you know what? I'm about to, yeah, because forget this. And I just go do dumb stuff. I get it. I make poor decisions on the regular. I'm like, oh, yeah.
I did. On Monday, I was like, oh, this is a bad decision.
And do it anyway.
This is a bad decision.
You know what? Sometimes, like going, wrong decision, I think to myself, you know what? I probably should do it. And I'll do it anyway. Or this is going to end badly. Mm. And I'll do it anyway.
Yeah. I could have told you some things were going to end badly, but you didn't listen.
Well, you didn't use your gift and tell me.
No, son. Actually, you know what? Technically, I did. I did. Technically, I did.
Technically?
Technically, I did. I did say, I don't think that's going to be a good look. I did say that about a certain somebody.
I need you to use your gift because I know you seen something and you ain't say nothing because you look right at me when you said sometimes I don't say anything.
You can't hold your gift. Stop being stingy.
I'm not being stingy. Mm-mm. No, if we have a conversation, listen, see,
like
this is where I don't. If you're talking to me and you say something, based on what I've seen.
I got a question.
Huh?
Go ahead. I'm going to just hold my
hand. If I see something and you talk to me about it or we're having a conversation, I will interject it into a conversation. I'm not going to say the Lord said or it was in my spirit. No, I'm just going to be like, ooh.
And I can admit that you will. And that's what we used to say, you know, a couple months back. Like, if people could be witness to the stuff we talk about before getting on the air.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Right, sir. Anywho, no, but I did. I did. In this particular situation, person, I told you it wasn't going to end well, but you kept doing it because I think you was getting some extra things on the side, but it's neither here nor there. I told you it wasn't going to be good. Now, what were you going to say, ma'am?
Yeah,
talk about
me.
The spirit.
Mm-hmm.
that spirit did warn you back in Landover not to trust certain people with certain parts of this right here? I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not. I'm just because I know that I find a lot of times I'll receive it and I'll be like, oh, come on, really? Not. And I give people a chance. And then I'm like, well, I knew that was going to happen. So that's why I'm asking. I'm really not trying to be funny. I know I worded it kind of funny, but no, seriously.
In that particular situation, and one, let me tell you why. I was on the verge, and you can ask, Breezy can confirm this. I was almost on the verge of letting this show die. Okay. Like, just quit recording, period.
Mm-hmm.
So when I had a conversation with that person, he indicated that he had some experience and that he was going to help bring some life to the situation. And so in that particular moment, I was already feeling like I'm gonna throw it away. And here's someone who's saying, I'm committed to helping you revive it. Not necessarily saying revive it, because mm-hmm. when I was discussing the opportunity, I was putting on that, it's great, it's going to be wonderful, the opportunity, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You
were selling it.
And selling myself in it, too. And so when you start hyping me up, I'm now excited, and maybe... And I personally believe is that he was only needed to push me back into it. He served his purpose.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
Are you over there sitting like, I don't know.
No.
I get it. And I also get the selling it to other people while you're selling it to yourself, because we see it every day on Facebook.
I'm just figuring out how hungry I am.
People selling their lives. Breathe. He gets distracted.
I know the person you speak about in that situation, because I think I asked him, like, why can I log in here?
Right.
So, nah. We know. I mean, people come in for a reason. It's to give a joke, a push,
right.
or to slap you back at the...
Not that Breezy wasn't trying to help me come back. He was actually very accommodating. He was like, I'm ready whenever you are.
Yeah, but it was more of a passive kind of thing.
But now what I've learned today, I now understand it, though.
Mm-hmm.
He can become a recluse quickly.
Hold on.
Right. I know this now, so I understand his comments now. While I may want to reach out, or I may want somebody to reach out to me and pull me out, I'm perfectly fine doing me until you figure it out. I got it. So, it has been another awesome. This is awesome conversation.
Enlightening.
I think we all learned something very important about each other today.
We did. I said it's very enlightening.
Yeah.
Like, I learned that D be holding out. I learned that.
Yeah, hold on to her.
I do hold out. For other reasons.
I can't.
Yeah. Anywho, every Wednesday night, 8 to 9:30. You can be a part of this very insightful conversation.
You never know what you might hear next.
Because we are amongst friends. We are your family.
You got the scars to prove it.
Nigga, that was good. That was...
Yeah, let's just end it right there. You haven't. All right, y'all. Next week. Holla.